always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. And to everyone, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, I am recording from a VRBO in El Paso, Texas, because the vibes are just too good not to record right now. Lakers have won 9 straight. They did so most recently by beating the Orlando Magic on a Luke Kennard last-second shot. So we're going to be recapping that game a little bit. We're going to be talking about the vibes. We're going to be just enjoying this one together. I'm going to be here all along because I am on vacation, and the longer I am here, the longer I have to sleep on the couch when I get back from said vacation, seeing as Jen is with both of the kids. So, let's go ahead and dive into this one together and, just kind of revel in whatever the hell happened to the Lakers that turned things completely around from almost the moment that I said I hate this team. Again, apologies for how everything sounds. I have everything hooked up. At some point, I'll take a picture so that you guys can see the recording situation here. In literally a closet. Like if I step this way just a little bit, let's see if the camera follows. Yeah, that's an ironing board. If I go here even further, I think, yep, that's my dad's blazer that he wore to the quince yesterday. So it has been a unique recording situation. So enjoy this one with me. Let's all just enjoy this together. We'll start with that game as the Lakers beat the Orlando Magic by 1, a game that was absolutely hideous in the third quarter. Luka couldn't make a shot down the stretch. He shot really poorly in the second half. It's funny, he still wound up with 33 points and impacted the game else in other ways. Including a technical foul that was rescinded. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But you had Luka have a, by his standards, kind of downish game. You had LeBron, by his standards, have a very down game. Austin, fortunately, was good in this one. He had his 26 points. LeBron scored 12. And overall, the Lakers were able to win in another different way, which really I think is kind of the story over the course of the streak, is that they're beating good teams. That's the top story, because that was something that they struggled to do before. But the second story, and I think it's just as important as who they are beating, but it's how they are beating those teams. They've beaten good teams in shootouts. They've beaten good teams in uglier games. They have beaten good teams in games somewhere in the middle. They have beaten teams with LeBron playing well. They've beaten teams with Austin playing well. They won this one with Luka not playing up to the standard that he has been playing. Just overall, a team that I really think has taken hold of the fan base, right? Like it's funny. I as I said in my offside video, we're there at Quince. And the game is going on. I have my phone propped up, to where nobody could quite see what I was doing. My dad had his phone over there. I have some cousins and some uncles on the other side of the hall that we were at. And they had their phones kind of propped up, kind of looking from time to time. And I remember there were two plays that down the stretch got kind of reactions that you could tell, wives were like, elbowing, because out here in El Paso, there's a lot of Laker fans. This is mostly Spurs fans, to be absolutely clear, but a lot of Lakers fans as well. And so this game's going on, and the Austin step back three that he made got like some whoops from, you know, some like, you know, and like people are like, you know, looking across the sala that we're all at, you know, are you watching? Yeah, did you see that shit? And then, you know, you have that going on. And then when Kennard made his three, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but it was during when the pastor was talking, when the priest was talking, and I'm like, the ball, you know, Marcus Smart makes a skip pass over to Kennard, and I see he's wide open, and I just outright just go, uh-oh, and the shot goes up, and it goes through, and I'm like, poof, you know, just like, hell yeah, let's go. And not like I didn't say hell yeah in the middle of a pastor's sermon, but still it was just like it was like let's go. And I like grab my phone, I run outside to record really quick, run back in, dinner's being served. As I'm walking back into the sala, like by that point everybody's phones had kind of caught up and people were like, Did you see that shit? And my cousin Champ, he goes, how did they miss that foul on LeBron? And he said that in a way that like everybody around the hall could hear and be like, I know. It was awesome. It was such a cool, funny moment to be there and enjoy that. And you know, it shouts to Kennard for, you know, he's been in a bit of a slump, you know, to an extent where we're like, God, please tell me Kennard isn't suffering the Lakers shooting curse as well. But no, he came through, popped wide open. Shouts to J.J. Redick for drawing up a beautiful play that they ran twice, really. Like, he deserves credit for drawing up the first play. LeBron open on a play that he should have been fouled. I don't give two fine leaps whether the league says LeBron wasn't fouled. We all saw it. But, like, you know, J.J. Redick draws up that one, the play that got LeBron free right by the basket. And then he draws up this play here with Luke Kennard getting wide open at the top of the key. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I tweeted it out in the moment, but it's really kind of brutal what the Lakers put defenses through when they can put an all-offensive team out there. And, you know, and the point is to hit a three or just to hit a two-pointer because you have Marcus Smart inbounding the ball, which, you know, he is very capable of doing. But then the four guys that are on the court are Luka Doncic, who is playing MVP caliber basketball, LeBron James, two at worst player of all time. You have Austin Reeves, who is a threat to him, his own from deep or anywhere on the court. And then in this case, they had Luke Kennard out there who's a willing screen setter who understands that, you know, the better screen he sets, the more likely it is that he pops open. And if he pops open, he's a top three shooter in the NBA right now. What do you do with all of that if you're defense, right? You have to, and the reason that Kennard opened up was because Luka got so much attention coming off of his screen, and there was that miscommunication there. If there's any miscommunication whatsoever, Marcus Smart makes that pass, Kennard makes a shot, game over basically. And, you know, that's going to be a real weapon here for the Lakers, not just at the end of games, but at the end of quarters, at the end of halves, right? Like, in those spots where J.J. Redick doesn't have to worry about, like, well, what happens if they go back the other way? The Lakers can field some absolutely brutal groups that defenses have to try to figure out what to do with. And that group in particular is just, what do you do? And in this case, for the Orlando Magic, what you do is lose. You miscommunicate, you can hard pops open, and the game is over. But, yeah, like I thought, you know, as far as the way that the game went, it was brutal to watch. The third quarter was really ugly. The fourth quarter, on the final stretch, right, last 3 to 5 minutes or so, the Lakers had, by my count, five or six very makeable shots that, you know, Jake LaRavia had like a missed layup. You had Austin miss a couple great looks from three. Luka missed a step back three. The Lakers did do just enough to get, you know, a couple of stops here and there and keep themselves in the game. But that was not how anybody would have drawn up, you know, how the Lakers were going to be able to win a game against an Orlando Magic. Like, yeah, they didn't have Jonathan Isaac and they haven't had Franz Wagner for way too much of the season for their liking, obviously. It is still a you know, long, physical, athletic team that the Lakers were able to get very good looks against on the stretch. And, you know, just from a sheer process standpoint, it just kind of really goes to show this strength of the Lakers is the ability to execute down the stretch. And I don't know what too many teams, like they made Houston's defense really kind of look pedestrian the other night. And for my money, I thought they made Orlando's defense look pretty pedestrian in last night's game. They just missed the shots. And on nights where they're making more of those shots or making more of their throws, there's just not many ways to stop that Lakers offense. So, just that game was ugly. It was in the mud. And, you know, every point down the stretch of that one felt like it cost you an arm and a leg to get. And the Lakers got just enough points to be able to get it done. One thing popped up over the course of that game, right, was Luka Doncic and Goga Bitadze getting into it. Hope I didn't screw up the name too bad there. But he and Goga got into it. According to Luka, Goga was saying stuff about his mom. According to Goga, Luka was saying stuff about his mom. They were doing all of this mom talk in different languages that the referees could understand. So he just kind of decided double T and in the end, because they weren't, I don't know what, I thought the Lakers were smart to kind of push for the league to rescind it right after the game. And eventually the league, you know, agreed with them that, you know what, it's a double technical. Who knows who said what first? At the end of the day, let's just rescind both of those T's and everybody can kind of move on. And I think it's the right move. Obviously, you know, I'm pissed because it means that Luka is not going to be suspended for tomorrow's game against Detroit. But still, guys talk, you know, and it never escalated to things being physical. It never got that ugly, right? We saw what happened in the OKC and Wizards game the other night. You know, it just felt like basketball and the kind of things that these hyper-competitive, crazy testosterone dudes say to each other. And in this case, it was in a different language. And as that is the case, everybody can kind of move on. But very importantly here for the Lakers, they can wrap up this road trip by beating Detroit and extend this winning streak to 10 games potentially with – the majority of those games coming, the majority of those wins during the streak coming against playoff teams and playoff contenders. Detroit will not have Cade Cunningham, right, because of the punctured or collapsed lung or partially collapsed lung that he is dealing with. So the Lakers do have a bit of an opportunity here. And for Luka, right, like I'm happy that he is going to play, but I'm also kind of happier that he's still one tech away from being suspended, because I have really liked the way that he has been focused since this has become a thing and since he has been able to pick up another tee. Luka is spending a lot less time kind of talking to referees. He is spending a lot more time talking productively with his teammates. I think it has opened up his basketball game, where he is a lot more focused on the details and the energy necessary to be the kind of player that he has been during the streak. So kind of, you know, it's a double win here for the Lakers, that not only is Luka not suspended, but he's also going to continue to be kind of a better version of himself. So, you know, great news all around here, as the league, you know, I think in the end does the right thing. All right. The other thing that I wanted to talk about here was Luke Kennard, specifically on that shot, necessarily from a breakdown standpoint, but the knock on Kennard is that he will sometimes pass up a good shot for the sake of a great shot. And in that spot, you know, obviously that's not really an option. And, you know, he still got closed out too hard. He was wide open, so the closeout didn't really affect him. But if I were J.J. Redick, if I was that coaching staff, one of the things that I would tell Luke coming out of that play is like, hey, however open you were there, that's as open as you often are. So just rip, right? Like shoot the basketball. Ayton has been a lot more active on the offensive boards. I thought he was good in that regard against Orlando the other night. And it's like, you know, we aren't going to have many possessions, you know, the coaching staff talking to Luke, that is. But the coaching staff would tell him, like, a possession that ends with an even partly open Luke Kennard is a good, productive possession. Not, you know, don't force it. There's no need to take, like, step-back three-pointers that you are, you know, trying to create space for. Those are the shots that Luka can take. Those are the shots that Austin can take. But, you know, at the end of the day, if the ball whips around to you and you have even a crack of space there, take the shot, you know, let it fly. And we'll see what that does for the possession afterward. But that shot got off clean. Was wide open. Great pass there from Marcus to see him open like that. And you know, here's hoping that this kind of, like, because oftentimes in these slumps, a shot like that, you know, ends them, right? Because it's a game winner. Your team immediately freaks out. They immediately rob you. It was a really cool scene there, seeing how into it Luka was and LeBron was and Austin was. After that, they all went golfing together, which is, you know, also great to see. So, yeah, whatever crunk juice the Lakers are drinking collectively to maintain these vibes, keep that flowing. And I thought it was perfectly encapsulated by Luke Kennard knocking down that shot. All right, let's go ahead. Like I said, this is going to be a somewhat shorter show, so I'm going to dive on into some of the in some of the comments here. We will start with, we have a couple of these. Yeah, nice new studio. I prefer my other one. For one thing, I like having a chair. Like, you guys can't see this, but I'm standing right now. It's just like not ideal. But yeah, so the plan tomorrow, my flight is at 6:45 here locally, and I land at like 9:20 in Austin. So I'm going to try to watch as much of the game as I can, and then I'm hoping to go live right when I get home. But there are no funnier jokes to God than our plans. So we'll see what I'm actually able to do. But I will be in my studio the next time you see me, no matter what. I will not be recording in this for much longer, let alone ever again. But all right, so let's go ahead and dive on in. We have a – I know the stream is lagging. It's the VRBO's Wi-Fi. But yeah, we have a super comment here, which means I get to play this one. Fuck Boston! Always. So the question here comes from, or the comment here comes from Intel is Wild. Mother bleep, Boston? Absolutely. I said this. I hit, Don and I recorded a, you know, record these like mini conversations that have like a series of conversation topics. And you kind of roll through them as quickly as you can in these 2 to 3 minute or 1 to 3 minute type sound bites. And I was telling Dom, I was like, you know, so in one conference, you have the Celtics who are climbing up the standings. They just got Jason Tatum back. The guys who were playing well when Tatum was out seemed to have just kind of harnessed whatever it took to keep things afloat then. And everybody is kind of making it work now with Tatum back. So seems like Boston looks legit coming out of the East, and in the West, like, yeah, you have OKC and yeah, you have San Antonio, but both of those teams are facing their own questions. And the Lakers at that point had won, I think, 7 in a row. And ever since then, they have only won a couple more in a row against two also good teams. And, you know, like, it's possible these things all come down to matchups. These things come down to health and shooting luck and all of, you know, any number of other factors. But I think the Lakers have themselves a real opportunity here, if they can take advantage of it, to potentially face Boston in the finals, which, and, you know, if that's how this plays, then, you know, very much this clip applies. All right, the next question here comes from, or the next comment here, I'm sorry, my I usually have like a nice big screen, I can see everything going on at the same drip show shop. Did you have issues with the TSA? No, we did not. So we flew like here in the evening, and then we're flying back in the evening, and I think most of the TSA problems are in the mornings for the most part. There in Austin, there were a lot of problems the weekend before because kids were getting out on spring break, and they're South by Southwest, so Austin's airport was just a complete mess. But when we got there, like Jen's the kind of person who wants to get to the airport like 2 hours early on a good day. And in this case, the you know, she was like, can we get there even earlier? So we got there like 3 hours early and got through TSA in like 15 minutes and then proceeded to rack up a $150 bar bill because we had to buy like 4 different appetizers for the kids to keep them quiet for the amount of time that we were going to be there. A couple of drinks for Jen and myself apiece. And yeah, the whole time was just kind of like chucking, like, man, good thing we got here as early as we did, or else we wouldn't have had time for a second round. Whew, man, could you imagine? But, you know, I also understand from Jen's standpoint, like, there is nothing worse than getting to the airport and having to, you know, being stressed. The kids see that you're stressed. You're rushing from place to place. And, you know, for the most part, it's just, you're just better off to, you know, getting there early. And in my case, for Jen, it's like, all right, she cares about this a lot more than I do. I don't want her to be, you know, to start her vacation stressed out. So we'll just do whatever she said here and happy wife, happy life. But no, TSA was fine on my end. And, you know, knock on wood that it'll be the same way on the way back tomorrow. Next one here comes from Nathan Goldfarb, 5155. Not to be too negative, but how sustainable do you think some of these games are? It feels like a lot of our games are pretty close, and the Lakers have been shooting really well. You know, they didn't shoot that well against Orlando. Like, you know, you can go through the final possessions. Actually, I caught my dad doing that today. I kind of looked over his shoulder, and maybe that was yesterday at the Quince, but I kind of looked over his shoulder, and he was on his phone scrolling through the play outcomes. And it was like Luka missed three-pointer, Austin missed three-pointer, this missed three-pointer, all this good stuff. And or not good stuff, but all of these outcomes that, like, didn't really go in the Lakers' favor. So just simply basketball, right? The third quarter in that game, I think the third quarters, it was 20-22 in the third, and 37-30 in the first. So, you know, from the Lakers' standpoint, like, it really wasn't that pretty, and yet they were able to make it work. And that's what good teams do, is, you know, you win in a variety of ways. Some nights, yeah, there are nights where the Lakers shoot extraordinarily well down the stretch of a game. But also, I think a big factor, something that's worth pointing out here, compared to other teams that just go through hot shooting streaks. And yeah, I guess I saw the other day statistically that teams are shooting a little more poorly than, you know, they normally do during the stretch, that the Lakers are kind of benefiting from some poor opposition shooting. So that might be, you know, something to kind of take into account here. But from the Lakers' standpoint, like, I kind of throw the outlier shooting numbers, like I kind of throw those out the window, because like the Lakers just generate really good looks, especially when they stick with discipline, steady, organized offense down the stretches of these games. They generate really good looks out of their sets, out of their sideline and baseline out of bounds plays. Like if they get out and run, you know, that's another thing that the Lakers have been really good with over this stretch. So shooting range. Yeah. Thank you. But like the Lakers, I would say that they are, their variance is a lot more consistent than most teams, because one, the shooters that are taking shots, right? Rui is a very much a plus average, above average shooter. Luke Kennard is an excellent shooter. You could say that like Luka Doncic right now is kind of shooting out of his mind, but he came down to earth against Orlando and the Lakers were still able to handle them. So, I just think the Lakers, as long as they can stick with the things that continue to generate open looks for themselves, the less concern I am about shooting variance here with the Lakers. Now, opposing shooting variance, like that's a different thing, because three-point shooting is much kind of a random deal. But as far as like the Lakers and what they're doing, I actually think that they are good enough to create good shots consistently, that I just think that's kind of who they are. Oh, wrong button. Here we go. The next question here. JJ Redick Muse, Irwin, can you call us contenders now? Oh, there we go. The media is saying we are the second best team in the West and the biggest threat to OKC. Man, I don't want to overreact, to 9 out of the 82 games or whatever. But like the question about, the question facing the Lakers all year has been consistently been, can Luka, LeBron, Austin get on the same page? Can those guys be healthy together? And then when they're on the court, be the kind of overwhelming that they have to be to give the Lakers the chance of being this good of a team? Can Rob Pelinka assemble a roster of role players that allows guys to be that kind of effective? And I saw there was a question earlier, like, are you going to say sorry to Rob? I'm not, man, because this team is already really good. And just imagine it if they had turned Maxey in a first into another starting level rotation player. I just think when we talk about contenders and when we talk about, tiers and all these things, oftentimes what it comes down to is matchups, overall team health, vibes, all of that stuff. And right now, like if the season ended right now, which it doesn't, but if the season ended right now, I would give the Lakers as good a shot against OKC as any other team in the league. And that's basically all we can kind of hope for right now. So, I just think Anthony Irvin fanboy, with Luka playing like this, I don't think anybody can stop us. But it's not just Luka playing the way that he is. It's LeBron accepting kind of the little things role that he has. It's Austin filling in the gaps the way that he has during the stretch and really kind of cementing himself as the second option after Luka. It's DeAndre Ayton playing the way that he is. It's Marcus Smart playing the way that he is and leading the way that he is, holding everybody accountable when it comes time to hold them accountable. We have to see what happens with this Rui Hachimura calf injury that apparently he's getting an MRI for, before the Lakers head home. But, like, Lakers, winning in the variety of ways that they are, showing the kind of togetherness that we have seen from them, it's just, I really believe in what they're doing right now. And I'm really excited about where they're going to go from here. That's why I'm in this closet recording a podcast in the middle of my vacation, is because I really believe in what these guys are doing. And I look forward to talking about this team right now, you know, and Lord knows, like there are plenty of moments where I'm like, all right, babe, I'll be right back. I got to go record. Right now it's like, hey guys, do you guys mind? Like, we have like an hour or so here before we see family again. Do you guys mind if I go and record really quick? I just need to talk about this team. I need to enjoy this moment. And I think that's what we're all here to do, right? Is all collectively enjoy this moment, because we know what other types of vibes feel like, right? Like, we gotta enjoy this while it goes on, because you know, you never know what thing happens that derails the vibes. We got another super comment here from J Medrano Zero. I don't know about winning the chip this year, but does this year remind you of the 07-08 season? Like, they are building a foundation for next year and beyond, especially if Luka, AR, and Braun are intact. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, I think LeBron has taken note of all of this and kind of recognizes that, like, yeah, this is pretty good spot for you, bud. But who knows, right? Like, he's a free agent. He's going to have options, and there are going to be teams that are also, you know, contenders that he might be interested in. He might say that, like, you know what, this was a really fun season to go out on. Maybe that's how he does it. But yeah, like, you know, minus the kind of ambiguity there, I could see the comparisons. The thing with the 07-08 team was a lot of those positive vibes hung on Andrew Bynum taking the steps forward that he did that season. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of AR, in that, like, with Bynum, it was with Bynum, he had shown some flashes here and there. There was certainly talent, but, you know, remember that season started with Kobe being angry at the Lakers for not trading Andrew Bynum for Kevin Garnett or for Jason Kidd. And, you know, so, you know, that led to Kobe demanding a trade. And, you know, eventually that season finally starts, and then Bynum, like, just becomes a completely different player. And he was, you know, he was finishing over both shoulders. He hit, like, noticeably bulked up, didn't look like this kind of gangling teenager anymore. And he shows up and he looked great. And I'll never forget, the Lakers played against the Seattle Supersonics back then, and I think Bynum had like a 30-10, and the Lakers won it. And I think they were like number one in the conference in that moment. You know, the reporters, because they were asking Kobe about it all year, the reporters kind of asked him, like, hey, you know, do you feel any differently about this team that you did, you know, back earlier this season when you demanded a trade? And he was like, heck yeah, I do. Like, are you watching this? Like, of course. Where else would I want to go? And that, you know, obviously led to, now, unfortunately, right, that season was derailed first by Bynum landing on Odom. And you're thinking, great, there go all those vibes. And then the trade deadline happens, and the Pau Gasol trade happens. And you're like, all right, let's see what happens here. And unfortunately, obviously, they lost to the Celtics. I still maintain that if Bynum was healthy, or even Trevor Ariza was healthy, the Lakers, you know, and or Trevor Ariza was healthy, they beat the Celtics in that series. But yeah, it's just like, you know, with this, you know, it is possible to have a great season that doesn't end in a championship. The one difference I would say here, though, is that, you know, the role players from that team were a lot more kind of situated by the time that season ended and as you headed into the offseason. there are a lot of questions facing these Lakers as they embark on this offseason, or whenever they embark on this offseason, that weren't quite facing the Lakers then, right? Because the big move had already happened, which was trading for Powell. And then it was just a matter of like, all right, Powell, open chemistry. They did that immediately. And then it was like, all right, well, what does this team need around these two guys? And Odom had moved to the six-man role. Bynum, you know, getting healthy was a big deal. And then, you know, the Lakers eventually traded. Not they didn't actually trade, but in essence traded Ron Artest, or traded Trevor Ariza for Ron Artest when they could have had both. And, you know, built out the rest of that thing with a lot more kind of cemented going into that following offseason than this team has. So, but, you know, that said, if things go well enough, and, you know, like, I really want Marcus Smart back. I really want Luke Kennard back. And, you know, we'll see what Rui's contract number comes down to. Obviously, Austin is coming back. Ayton, I think, probably opts in. But if he continues playing the way that he is, maybe that becomes more of a decision down the road as well. Like, there is a world here where the Lakers run it back. But, you know, I wouldn't quite – I mean, you're never going to get an apples-to-apples straight-up comparison. I do like where you're going with it, though, that, like, this finally feels like it's building towards something, which is probably more important than all of the details and, you know, parsing between what would make this season closer to 07-08. All that matters really is that 08-09, that happens next season. That's ideal. That's all that matters as far as the comparison goes, is that this season follows the way that the season after 07-08 did for the Lakers. All right. Let's see. Maybe we have time for one more. I'm not, I swear I'm in a closet. Like, I am not the shit. I am in a closet. But no. And all right. No disrespect. You can't say no disrespect, but you're fat. Like, that's not, you can't lead with like, hey man, don't take anything by this, but I think we'll try. I know. I only eat two meals a day. I've already shed 20 pounds. John Ledesma, absolutely. Do not trade for Giannis. Agree with that wholeheartedly. I just think things are moving in too positive direction right now. And Giannis just seems complicated, right? Like, now he's fighting with the Bucks on whether or not he should – sit for the rest of the season, and when it's clearly in their best interest that he sits for the rest of the season, he can't get hurt and then further diminish his trade value. For them, they can't win a couple extra dumb games here and cost themselves some spots in the tanking order. So it does benefit everybody if he just kind of sits. And yet there you have these reports recently about those two entities not being on the same page. And I don't know, like, it's been this on again, off again trade rumor cycle with him that reminds me way too much of Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard, like, wasn't really that fun the first time around. So I'm kind of good on it. Like, if anything, with the Giannis situation, I would much rather, and I'm pretty consistent on this, I would significantly much rather wait for, like, whatever wings shake free by way of the Giannis trade whenever it happens. So if he goes to New York, maybe you get Mikal, or maybe you get OG. If he goes to Minnesota, maybe you get McDaniels. If he goes to Miami, maybe you get Wiggins for, like, basically nothing. Like, that is what I would prefer to see have happen here. And you know, maybe you get your hands on Isaiah Hartenstein. Maybe you get your hands on Lu Dort. Maybe you get your hands on any number of other potential players out there. But that is a lot more appealing to me than giving up everything for Giannis, basically rebuilding all over again, hoping that he and Luka develop the chemistry we have just seen take as long as it's taken for Luka and LeBron and Austin. And I don't even think it's a hot take at this point to just be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good on that. All right. So I will go ahead and end this one here. Just make sure I didn't miss any supers before. Cool. I did not. I'm going to go ahead and end this thing here. And I'm not going to stand here and accept is people shitting on El Paso. Incredible food. Well, not great. Sites aren't great either. But incredible food. All my family's here. It's basically my hometown. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, I totally agree. This place sucks. Like, no, man. If you don't know how to have a good time in El Paso, that's a you problem. But normally I would probably not vacation. So, fair sense. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.